Shalom Aleichem on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Tik 10 for Talmud, Chulin Sadi Vav, Chulin 96a, pagination is 191, about midway at the on the page, at the end of the line, Masnisin in bold, and then we begin on the beginning of the line. Hanotel Gid Hanosha, when a person is removing the Gid Hanosha, that's the part, the sinew that's in the back of the animal that needs to be removed relating to the mitzvah described in Parshas Vayishlach, that Yaakov was injured on his thigh, Alkein lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael es gid hanoshe, and therefore we do not eat this part of the animal. Tzorech sheyitol es kulo. The Tanakhama holds you have to remove the entire gid hanoshe. Meaning, not just the surface, but you have to dig deeper wherever this sinew goes, more precisely than just cutting off the surface. And we'll see that this is a distinction between biblical and rabbinic, that indeed only the bold part of the Gid Hanosha is the part that must be removed biblically, but that the Rabbanan required additional cutting, additional precision, and really traboring, a menaker, a person who does this type of work, is, besides being knowledgeable, but it's precise, surgical type work, and indeed, in many regions in our time, it's rarely practiced. They just take that entire piece of meat and put it on the non-kosher market. Rashi's description, sheyitol es kulo, yechatet acharov, you have to go after it. And it would be curious to know if the word yechatet, to go after it, digging deeply, is in any way related to the word cheret. We have in Parshas Kisisa, Rashi in the second explanation says that it's an implement that's used to act with precision in gold. Is there any relationship between these two words or not? The Mishnah continues. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Kidei lekayim bo mitzvas netila." All you have to do is fulfill the obligation to remove it, meaning a more superficial type of removal is sufficient because that's all that Rabbi Yehuda holds is forbidden. The Gemara explains, even rabbinically, that's all Rabbi Yehuda holds is forbidden. Ha'ochem migid anosha, the Mishnah continues, a person who eats from the gid anosha kezayis, a portion, sofig arboim, is liable to the punishment of lashes for that violation. Ochlo ve'embo kezayis, but if he ate it and there was no kezayis, but he ate it in its entirety, chayiv, he's also liable, even if there's no kezayis here, because it's called a beria, a significant identified piece. And that's going to have its own level of liability. Rashi mentions, compared to ochel nemala, eating an ant, an insect, is also, it's a beria, it's its own thing, and that makes it a violation, makes the person obligated, even if there is no kezayis, which would be the typical requisite portion of a forbidden item. That's, by the way, the basic theme that causes us to check vegetables so diligently. If it was simply a small something that might have gotten in there, so in many cases, we would apply the laws of bittul. It's nullified in the greater whole. But because it's a beria, in cases that we know that it's typically there, we have to actually remove it because a barrier carries its own weight. It's a creation, even though it's not a kezias. According to the Tanakhama, if you ate from the right gidanosha and the left gidanosha, an animal has two, so he's liable twice. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ein asovig ela arboim. Rabbi Yehuda holds that it only is applicable by one side, and therefore the other side was not a violation. The Gemara relates a story. Bar Piyuli, a person, he was a menaker, he was an expert butcher in this regard. He was able to cut out the parts of the animal that are forbidden. Havakoi kamed Shmuel, he was standing in front of Shmuel, he was working. Vekamenaker atma, and he was doing this nikur on a piece of meat. Havakagoim lei, he was only doing the surface removal of the gidanasha. Amalei, so Shmuel told him, chus beitve, you have to dig much deeper. If I didn't see you, what you were doing, and warn you that you have to do deeper, safisa li yisura, you would have given me prohibition. Now, if this is a regular human being, so, okay, but this is a menaker. He's a big Yirei Shamayim. He fears heaven. He's very precise in his craft. And for Shmuel to tell him, you didn't go deep enough, and if I didn't see you, you would have given me prohibition, has enormous ramifications. Firstly, regarding the story at hand, and secondly, according to Shmuel, he's been feeding other people prohibition. Irsis, this Bar Piyule, became frightened, nofo sakina midei, and the knife fell from his hands. He was shivering. Amalei, so Shmuel told him, lo sirsis, you really shouldn't get so frightened. De orilach, whoever taught you, Rabbi Yehuda orilach, taught you like Rabbi Yehuda. I don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, and I instructed you that you have to go deeper. But that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion of the Mishnah. And the Gemara continues and wonders, but even according to Rabbi Yehuda, midrabanan, you should have to go deeper. And the Gemara explains, Amar Rav Sheshes, on the first wide line, Mai deshakel bar piyule de oraisa. What bar piyule was removing was indeed the biblical obligation. Umad deshayer, and what he was leaving, what he was not removing, dirabanan l'Rab Meir, is rabbinic according to the opinion of Rab Meir. De Rabbi Yehuda, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, which is the way Bar Piyuli was taught, afilim midrabanan shari, even what remained was only was totally permitted. Afilim midrabanan shari, even midrabanan, it is permitted. So Bar Piyuli actually was following his tradition, and he was doing so accurately. He meets Shmuel in this story, and Shmuel introduces him to a dissenting opinion, which is the way it's practiced, that we indeed remove the Gid HaNasha with far more precision, digging deeper than just the surface removal. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.